Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. Excited about what's coming up this month. Hey, yeah. We're in February now, and this is the month of our two-year anniversary of Unite Worship Gatherings.
Wow. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Missed the last part.
Oh, well, so good. There's always room for improvement.
I know. 2 years. Can you believe we have been doing, for almost every month at a different location, Unite Worship Gatherings, over 30 different churches that have been involved with this, 50 or so different worship leaders from all over the region, outside of the area. They've come in and done worship sets. It's pretty amazing what God's been doing.
It's a little unheard of and pretty unique, but basically once a month we go into a different church and we clear out all the chairs, we get rid of the stage, and we set up the musicians in a circle, and we go for 24 hours of vertical worship. So there's no real man-to-man ministry going on in the room. This is just all about His presence, and we believe that hosting His presence as an encounter like that is a real key for breakthrough for our region, not just between each other. I mean, you talk about all these different churches, and there's new churches every month, and we've already booked one or two brand new churches that have never hosted for this year already. But it's also key, I believe, in the transformation of our city. And we talk about this, but you know, when we host His presence, it makes it easy for people to get free. The presence of God is the transformative agent in the earth right now, and it's the atmosphere of heaven, and we as ambassadors of heaven are carrying that atmosphere of transformation with us wherever we go. We're taking ownership of our region, of our cities, and we're uniting together to see the greatest kingdom impact that there could be.
My favorite thing is seeing the teams like all mixed up, you know, multiple worship leaders on one team or, you know, one team made up of five or six different churches. And I just think that's so cool to see there's no, you know, barriers.
What's even more amazing than that is that Clint has single-handedly run sound for these 24-hour events each and every month for the last 2 years.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's amazing or not, because I have to live with him.
Oh, what'd you say? I just fell asleep. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
How can you recover from that? It's like flipping shifts, working nights and then working days every month. It's crazy.
Well, and back in the very beginning, because he had to work all day Friday and then do it, he would be up for 40-some hours at the end of it.
And that was awesome, like, by the way.
It was it was ridiculous.
Well, we've tried to remedy this a little bit and get Clint some help and bring in some folks that are officially trained in how to mix sound in the round, because we do these in the round, for Unite Worship Gatherings, and schedule sound engineers along with worship teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we will be hosting a sound design workshop at Impact Life Church on March 16th. And we'll actually be setting the sanctuary up in the round like we would at a Unite Worship Gathering. In fact, we'll be having a Unite Worship Gathering the following two nights. So we'll have it set up and ready to do a sound design workshop. This is an absolutely free event. If you're interested in partnering with Like Hearts, you're in the Joplin and surrounding areas where you could participate in Unite Worship Gatherings from month to month and sign up for a slot to run sound. We would love to have you there. We would love for you to be involved and learn a little bit more about stewarding the art of sound design with excellence.
Yeah, it's going to be some real pro tips, and you're going to be working with some great gear. This is really an opportunity for you to increase your skill level and hone your craft.
So you can get signed up. Just go to uniteworshipgatherings.com. There's a link there to learn more about the sound design workshop and sign up for the workshop. Come on March 16th, and we will get you all squared away. And it's going to be a good time to unite with family and build relationships and support what God is doing right here in our own community.
Very good.
And if they'll commit to take a shift, I will make them cinnamon rolls.
Oh, boy.
And if you haven't had Haley Kaler's cinnamon rolls, well, let me tell you, they're something special. Next week, we're going to be talking with Chris Jones about rejecting rejection.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you can't say no to Haley Kaler's cinnamon rolls.
Right.
This is true.
It's impossible. So that's the flip side of rejecting rejection. Today, we're discussing his unexpected goodness. We're fortunate enough to have later on in the program, Consumed by Fire. We'll be sitting down with them and discussing this very topic. And we'll go into it a little bit deeper when we get back.
Ooey gooey goodness.
Identity Music is the music publishing arm of Next Gen Worship. We are a family of creatives who love the presence of God, who desire to see the kingdom advance through creativity and music. We are sound artists. Recorded sound has the power to convey emotion, tell stories, and bring the listener into an experience where time stops for a journey of the heart. We are currently completing our state-of-the-art custom audio recording studio, utilizing industry-standard tools at the core of our creative process. We are asking you to partner with us. We have currently connected with a donor that promises to match dollar for dollar all donations made to complete our studio. That means if you contribute $100, it's like giving $200. There are just a few loose ends to tie up before we can start shaping sounds that change history. Help us. Donate today and have it matched at nextgenworship.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we are rejecting rejection. Ooh. And we're going to be sitting down with Chris Jones, one of our very own right here in our own community. Just a solid guy. He's got a good word to bring to the table.
He's passionate. I love his passion.
We're excited to talk with him. Today, we are talking about his unexpected goodness.
Yeah. Wow.
Many people don't expect the goodness of God. Why is that? What is the state of our culture? And how can we tweak the perspective of the way that people are looking at our Father?
A little defensive there. I mean, I feel the passion. I feel
He's my daddy.
Yeah, you're defending him a little bit. His honor.
Well, when you've been taught wrong your whole life and you've believed wrong your whole life, you probably are expecting wrong things to happen.
And not only that, I appreciate Howie's boldness when he was like, we're a product of bad end time theology. Mm-hmm. So I think right off the bat, maybe let's help identify whether you have a poor view of God's goodness. We see in the paper there's an earthquake or there's another mass shooting, and the first religious response you hear from people is, well, brother, it's getting darker and darker. It must mean the end. Jesus is coming. Get ready. You know?
Why are all religious people kind of...
I know. They have the thing. You've done it to me.
Let's not generalize people groups, Pete.
Right. We should come up with a different accent, to be fair.
But it's a fun accent to do, I tell you.
But we have religion has a twisted delight when things go wrong.
Yeah.
The reason is because they read from Scripture. Jesus said, in the end, you'll see wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famine, you know, chaos. And that was not a prophecy from Jesus. He was not prophesying chaos into the earth. He was saying, these are the conditions that I'm going to release my end time army into to push back darkness.
Yeah.
And we don't come with this foundational viewpoint of God and his goodness. His goodness is here to put chaos into order. His love is here to put all wrong things right. And so, you know, you see people, they believe sickness is here to teach us a lesson. Well, you know what? Jesus never said that to anyone. In fact, he went and healed everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody dies. Well, God just needed another angel in heaven. Like God's a sniper up there picking people off.
That's not a funny thought.
And that is not our Father.
No.
In fact, Jesus wrecked every funeral he ever attended.
Right.
We know the Bible does say a man is appointed once to die. But if it's not someone's appointed time to be dead, they shouldn't be dead.
Right.
And that was the issue with Jesus. Get up, you know, and we make that joke all the time. If he hadn't said, Lazarus, come forth, everybody dead in the area would have got up. So, you know, when we talk about the goodness of God, we're actually talking about a mentality, a precept, a theology. In fact, it is the cornerstone of our theology. Otherwise, he would not have sent Jesus, which was good.
Mm. Well, if God was, you know, the angry judger, then you're right. Why would he have sent Jesus? Why would he have sent redemption? Why would he care? You know, so I think when we expect God to be angry, we are expecting disaster to happen, we are expecting everything to go wrong, we naturally start seeing things that way. It's like when you buy a new car, you all of a sudden start seeing cars like that driving around town that you never would have noticed before.
Right.
So when we're expecting foulness to happen, then we start seeing all of the foulness. And when we change our mindset to understand that God is good, and that, you know, we are an instrument of God's goodness on this earth, then we reset our expectations and we naturally start seeing the goodness of God made manifest in the world around us.
Well, the bottom line is, if our perspective of our Father is distorted, our perspective of ourselves is distorted.
Yeah.
If we don't have the proper view of his identity, of who he is as God, God is good.
Yeah.
Right? God is love. God is faithful. These are the attributes of his, yes, but it is exactly who he is. You know, before Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, all they knew was good.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the lens of heaven, goodness. That's why when we have a clear understanding and identity of who God is as our Father, we have a good identity of who we are, but we also have a good identity of who others are as well.
Yep.
We begin to see others through the lens of heaven, and we begin to see them with oneness as a part of ourselves. And I believe that's what Jesus meant when he said, you know, the first commandment, love the Lord your God with everything that you've got, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Love them as an extension of who you are. And I think people say, yeah, I love them as much as I love myself, but I think that's a distorted point of view. He really wants us to love people as a part of us.
Yeah. You know, this is not something that has come naturally or easily for me. And I have just had to make a point in my own life that I will demand of myself that even if I do not understand, if I don't have clarity about the things that are happening around me or why this or why that, that I believe that God is good. That's the preset in my life, and everything has to come from that. And even if I don't feel it, if my emotions aren't lining up with that, I will demand of myself that I will have hope and I will believe that God is good.
Yeah, that's so important, because we see all the time, and I'm pretty sure we're all guilty of this, but we see people creating theology based on their experience instead of demanding that their experience bow to God's theology. You know, what does the Bible say about this? What does it say about that? And that's why I mentioned before we were talking about this, you know, Jesus Christ is perfect theology. And if we hear somebody saying something, teaching something that we don't find in Jesus, it's okay to question that and go, well, you know what? I never really saw that in Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, I never really saw that nature.
Yeah.
I never saw that intention. I never saw that heart position. We see Jesus basically going around creating a connection, a love connection with people that transformed their life because they had an encounter with him. And then he tells his disciples to go out and crush darkness. In fact, he was so surprised when he saw the woman that was bent over. He said, why is this woman bent over? She's a daughter of Abraham. So even pre-cross, pre-New Testament, we see this expectation of Jesus that my people should be whole. And a wholeness is a huge theme when we talk about what Jesus did on the cross. We're talking about pushing back all darkness. We're talking about creating heaven on earth. We're talking about advancing the kingdom in a way that pushes back darkness to the point that we can say the king's dominion is here.
And when you've believed your whole life that God is angry or that God is indifferent and far away, I think it's important to note that you need to take your soul, your mind in hand and take responsibility for renewing your mind. It doesn't just happen overnight or automatically. That you have to make a point to grab those thoughts and those ideas that you've lived with your whole life that, you know, God's judging you, and grab them and replace them with truth. Replace them with something that is going to be fruitful, which is in fact that God is good and that He loves you and wants you to be successful on this earth, not that He just wants your soul to be in heaven, you know, someday,
right.
But that He wants you to live a fruitful life and be someone who releases His goodness everywhere you go.
I was watching one of those criminal shows where the FBI team's tracking down the serial killer or whatever the other day, and there was this young man, he was a teenage boy who had gotten caught up in these horrendous acts, and it was because his self-image was so distorted that he viewed himself and assumed others viewed him that way as well because of his home life and some other things, of course. But he had apprehended this woman, and she was driving around with him wherever he wanted to take her. And he was continually telling her, "You hate me, and you think I'm a bad boy." And she continued to tell him, "I don't hate you. I love you. I think you're confused. I think that you've had some horrible things done to you, and you're just trying to make sense of it all. And I want to help you do that." So she wasn't being defensive. The kid had a weapon, you know, and she could have feared for her life, but she instead wanted to help him. And she saw redemption there. She saw that he was redeemable. And I think it's a beautiful picture of the goodness of God. Because that's how He sees us. I love what you said last week, Haley. You said that God is never offended by us.
Yeah.
You know, we can act horrendously. We can, you know, this kid had done some really horrible things, but she wasn't focused on that. She wasn't focused on his sin, on his past behavior. She was focused on his potential. And I think God sees that seed that He's put in us, and that's what He wants to bring out. And that's why He's not sin conscious. That's why He's not looking at our sin. He took care of our sin, and now He's looking to bring us to that place of fruition and completion.
Yeah,
I think that if we want to really make it simple, then that means that pretty much every act of evil or darkness that people commit on the earth is a result of mistaken identity.
Hmm.
They've mistaken the identity of God, and they've mistaken the identity of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important, especially, you know, Josh and I were talking about songwriting this morning. Man, even in our songs, we've got to come from a healthier place instead of a lot of worship songs we have, even maybe some we're still singing. We're singing about the faraway God or the God that please come. You know, I don't measure up today, but would you please come anyway? And man, that's not in the New Testament. The New Testament talks about us being sons of God, united, one with Him, seated in heavenly places, one with Christ. And, you know, I think it would be great to write some healthy songs with healthy theology talking about these things. And when we talk about shifting culture, man, that's a huge first step. Carry heaven, shift culture, transform the way we believe, transform the way we believe. And when we get some good believing always precedes the acts of the kingdom.
That's it. And how we speak, how we think, how we act, it's all rooted out of what we believe.
So that's right.
If we expect His goodness, then we'll always respond to others and view ourselves in the same light that He views us in Christ. And so identity is so very important. Some guys who have really worked hard to bring identity to some scenes that maybe you wouldn't expect. You know, we talk about getting outside the four walls all the time, and these guys do it each and every week. They go all over the country, and they play some rock and roll music, you know. And
they have a great sound, by the way.
Yeah, bring in the kids, and Consumed by Fire, our friends from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, are going to be on the program with us as we interview them about the unexpected goodness of God. It's coming up. Core Sounds Pad Loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, and kill dead space. What are pad loops, you might say? Essentially, it's like the best keyboard sound or guitar swell you've ever heard, sitting underneath your live worship team. It helps to create a beautiful, patient atmosphere for your worship team and fill out the sound. They're a great investment if you have a smaller worship team or if you have a large team but want to create an even bigger sound and improve your transitions. Plus, the full sound will give you an added confidence and free you as a leader to focus on worship. Core Sound has 8 pad sounds in all 12 keys, and they come in 3 different bundle sizes so you can find the perfect fit for your worship ministry. Load the pads up on your smartphone, tablet, or laptop, and you're good to go. Whatever you play, within the key of the pad loop sounds amazing, and each pad lasts for about 20 minutes. These pads are an incredible investment and a great tool for your worship team to transform your sound and help you to continue to lead and serve God's people well. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we'll be sitting down with Chris Jones talking about the topic of rejecting rejection. Today, we're fortunate to have on the program discussing his unexpected goodness. We interview Consumed by Fire.
Jordan and Caleb, thank you so much for joining us. Consumed by Fire. Super excited to just sit down with you guys and kind of get to know you and your heart and what you guys are doing in the earth. So tell us about yourself. What is Consumed by Fire all about, and what are you guys doing?
Yeah, well, we're three brothers. We're pastor's kids. We've been in the ministry, it feels like, our whole life.
Yeah, long time. Mom and dad's been doing it over, what, 25 years?
30 plus years,
well,
yeah,
it's been a long time. Long time.
Dad was a missionary for the large portion of our lives. By the time I was like 5 years old, he'd been to 18 countries. Now he's been to 30 plus countries. And we've always grown up with a kingdom mindset, the focus being global, not just our four, no more, not just our corner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's translated to everything that we do now, with the work we do with Child Fund and the different work we do overseas with that, all the way down to how we present ourselves and present the gospel. So just, yeah. It's been a life of ministry.
Yeah. So tell us about the name. Tell us the story behind that.
Man, just right out of Jeremiah. You know, he was at a place in his life where I think a lot of people can relate to, because where he was at, he was facing burnout. And he was saying, you know, when I say I'm done, when I say I'm not going to speak of your name anymore, there's this fire in my heart and I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. And I think about, you know, everybody's got a dream out there and everybody's got something that God's called them to do. And in doing that, you carry a heavy load sometimes. You know, it can feel like a really big burden, a really big care. And you want to just quit because you're facing the burnout phase of life. And through Christ, though, and finding that peace and that rest every day, it enables you to keep going. So for us, I was 12 and a half or something, and I come to Jordan one day, and I'm like, hey, will you give me a few band names? And he shot out a couple. You know, I'm just some little kid, you know, little chunky guy. And he says, well, how about this one, and Consumed by Fire? And I'm like, I love it. And I didn't even know what I was picking. But, you know, you do it for, we're going on 11 years now, and 11 years down the line, you think of that scripture, and you think about how that scripture's opened up in your own life. And you know what, God, I need your fire. I need your passion, because without that, I don't want to do this anymore.
We've always talked about the goodness of God, which always leads back to his grace. Uh-huh. And I think the rest that we found, you know, for so many years, yeah, it was, let's play 100, 150 shows. We convinced mom and dad to homeschool us. I say convinced because Caleb said he was 12 and a half. I wasn't even 16 yet.
Came out the date doing over 100 shows.
Yeah. Wow. And so you think about that, and it's like you can really easily get into a place where you think it's about the grind, and that's what's going to bring success. And truthfully, the more we get to know character of God, the more it's just, man, surrender. Just surrender to me, and I'm going to bless whatever you put your hands to. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bless, and I'm going to make it prosper. So you can grind so much in your own strength, and then that's where burnout comes in. You know, so it's like Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9 is what Caleb was quoting.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah, he was at a place where he said he was done, and then there was a fire that took over. The thing that called him in the first place, when he finally surrendered and says, dude, I tried holding it in, indeed I cannot. Indeed I cannot is the surrender part of that. And I think that's what kept him going, is when he said, you know what, forget it. I've tried holding it in, and I'm not going to try anymore. I'm just going to surrender.
Wow.
And that carried him.
Yeah. Well, we were talking a little bit about your heart and kind of the core message. Let's just dive into that a little bit. And
yeah,
you're talking about the goodness of God. And one of the purposes in your music, from what I can tell, is to help people encounter who God is and to tell the story of who he is through your life and what you're creating. So take us on a little bit of a journey here and help us understand the heart behind everything you do.
Well, from the music aspect of when you pop in a CD of Consumed by Fire, I think you're going to find just life and songs for life to help you with everyday life. But when you come to a CBF show, it switches up a bit. You know, we're really very biblical. We love to get deep into the Word, and we love to talk on the character of God, which is, you know, pretty cool for us because we still can appeal to a mainstream audience. But once you come to a show, it's not mainstream at all. You know, because to me, too, we play a lot of churches even, and it's pretty wild because you'll see what, you know, how many people a night just getting saved and coming to Jesus.
We saw nearly 400 salvations on our last tour. Yeah. And it doesn't sound like a huge number when you realize how many dates we played, but we play to the church widely. And so, like, when you think about that, I think it's a pretty special
thing. Well, through the music, they bring friends and people that normally wouldn't want to come because, you know, it's kind of down the middle in some ways. But whenever you're putting Jesus right in front of your face and you're presenting the Word of God, often like Jordan does, it's really strong and you feel the anointing, the Holy Spirit's just coming in. It impacts you, man. It changes you. And you just feel that in the room and it just goes from there, you know? So that's a big thing.
And we got a big heart for worship. Yeah. A lot of our friends are in worship. We're friends with, you know, Ed Cash and Jenny Lee Riddle and Michael Farron and all those guys. Like, I know you guys are as well. And you can't be around those type of people without that anointing that you respect. You eventually end up receiving that anointing. Dad always taught us the anointing comes through revelation, through impartation and association. And I think that association is what ends up rubbing off on us. Yeah. And so we go into a time of worship in our live show and it's like, hey, this part is where the whole thing switches. It's not about entertainment. It's all about seeking the face of God. So yeah.
I love that. It's so good. So let's talk about your music for a minute. Let's talk about your latest project, maybe your favorite song or two from there, and tell us a song story.
Yeah, I think Given Over is the best one to talk about. You mentioned that being the title track. It shares the theme of the record, and it's just a state of surrender. And so that's a big common theme in our lives the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's just grace, man, because when you run into grace, you quit thinking that it's all about you. When you run into grace, you get out of the roots and things that, you know, from the South, we're taught, you know, our whole life that
everything I got, I earned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there really is a sense of pride that comes from it. And I understand it. I'd rather have that than being lazy. But once you really understand Jesus and you get under that grace, you get under the mindset of everything I have is because you gave it to me.
That's right.
Everything you have is because of your blessings. It's nothing, you know. It goes back to where Paul was talking to everybody. He's like, dude, on my own, I'm a filthy rat. So on my own, I'm dirt. I ain't nothing. And when you get under that mindset of I'm righteous because you call me righteous, I'm righteous because you put your blood on the cross, and you get under that surrender, then you really stop being prideful. You stop thinking you're hot stuff. You stop thinking it's anything to do with you. And you just say, you know what, God, you're a good God. All the times I ran, where was the running? All the times I said, I don't need no one. All the times I was crying out, you were reaching out, and now I'm giving over. I'm giving over. I'm giving over when I'm burning out and I can't go on, when my trust is fading.
The more we put ourselves into something, the more it has to do with the working of our hands, the less successful it is.
Yeah.
I think some of the most widely successful things we've ever done is the things that where only God could get the glory. And so I think this message and this overall theme has just become our life, and that's what it should be for everybody. But in the writing we do with other people, we just wrote a song with Seventh Day Slumber not too long ago that's going on their new record, and it's called My Last Words. And the chorus just talks about, this place that I stand, it wasn't the working of my hands. I was carried here only by the blood. I'll always sing your praise. I know amazing grace will be my last words. And so I feel like even in the work we do with other people now, it's carrying on over into that. And I think that's what our lives are supposed to be, a message of grace. It's like a billboard. Habakkuk 2 says it, where you can see it on the run. They catch the vision on the run. So it's just a big billboard. And I think Our lives should be a billboard of grace and the goodness of God. Or when other people say it, say, I want to buy into that.
So. Oh, that's so good. So tell us about some of the God dreams that you have burning in your hearts. What are some of the things that he's spoken to you and that you're pursuing? Yeah. And
well, there's certainly a lot of things we're pondering. I mean, with the work that we're doing with other people, we have a, you know, I'm sure about some of the work we've done in a program we have called the Academy of Dreamers.
Love that.
And it's where we're just working with up and coming gifts and talents. And when we blend the two with child sponsorship, so then if they go out and find friends and family willing to sponsor X amount of kids, then their dream comes true to be in this world of music that we're all in. And so I think it's really cool. That's a fun thing for us just to be able to, I mean, it's exhausting too in some ways, but
it's a huge dream.
It's a big dream. We want to see that just continue to develop. And we'd love to see a home for all these people like X-Men, you know, I think it'd be cool. So
what I love most about it is that it took us, you know, many, many years to get connected with people. It took us years to find the resources to get into these studios. Last year, we went to what? House of Blues,
Sound Kitchen,
all these awesome Blackbird studios, down to where we cut our record. We've been working out of with people, the Rockporium down in Atlanta with Scotty Will Baines from Third Day. And man, we've been doing awesome things like that. But the best part of it all is you're imparting wisdom to people. Of, I might not always have the answers for you, but I'll tell you everything that didn't work for me. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just don't take
and
that
And it took
path.
Us a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of tears to find out what didn't work. So, yeah, so, no, yeah, just imparting unto other people, man. It's a calling that we feel placed on our lives. And we just want to see that continue to grow. We get a lot of joy from that. So yeah. just Very watching good. That grow.
Amen.
Excellent. Well, help us connect people with you, whether it's social media or a website. Help sure. us connect people with you.
Yeah, man. You can find us at cbfmusic.com. You can get a hold of the Academy of Dreamers. It's real easy. Just academyofdreamers@gmail.com. Just shoot us an email. Our team will get back to you. Want to know more info about that?
Yeah.
We're on Instagram at Consumed by Fire, Twitter, CBF Music.
Favorite still the old Facebook.
Hey, that's right. Old faithful Facebook. That shows our age a little bit. Or our age in our hearts.
And no, we're not on Messenger.
Awesome. Well, Caleb and Jordan, it's been a joy talking to you. We really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us today.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you guys.
So good to have our good friends Caleb and Jordan from Consumed by Fire on the program. Hope to talk to them in the near future. Next week, sitting down with Chris Jones as we discuss the Father's heart for our generation and the generations to come as we explore the topic of rejecting rejection. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.